We begin Lent with the temptation of Jesus, about which St. Mark has surprisingly little to say. His gospel opened with John the Baptist outside the city at River Jordan, to whom masses of people went to be baptized. Mark put it this way: they were all baptized of him in the River of Jordan, confessing their sins. Then Jesus came out from Nazareth in Galilee down to where John was, and Mark writes he was baptized of John in Jordan. Those are almost the same words as the baptism of the masses, but Mark does not continue confessing his sins. Jesus, of course, had no sins to confess. Instead of having his baptism accompanied by a confession, Jesus' baptism is accompanied by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes like a dove descending upon him, and he hears a voice from heaven speak to him, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Father is well pleased with his Son. That pleasure is shown in what we might think to be a very strange manner. Immediately, the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. Now we come to verse 13, which is the key to all of this. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. The picture this verse 13 gives us is not that which we have from St. Matthew and St. Luke. In their accounts of the temptation, Jesus is led by the Spirit rather than driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. They have Jesus fasting for 40 days, and at the end of 40 days, he is tempted by the tempter, so Matthew, or the devil, so Luke. Furthermore, according to Matthew and Luke, Jesus has three temptations carefully described, and we are told the manner by which Jesus is victorious over those temptations. At the end, the tempter, the devil, gives up, and the angels come to minister to Jesus. Mark is much plainer. I will read it again. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. The plain reading of this is that the temptations did not come at the end of 40 days of fasting, but rather that they continued throughout the 40 days. Likewise, for those 40 days, it seems, Jesus is with wild beasts. And likewise, it seems, for 40 days the angels are ministering unto him. And that ministry could naturally be understood as providing him with such food as he needed. The word for minister comes from the word for table server. What do these differences mean? Take the first. Tempted of Satan for the 40 days. We don't need to know, Mark seems to be saying, anything about the content of the temptations, nor do we need to know how Jesus responded. The temptations are simply ineffectual. Although they last for 40 days, they have no effect upon Jesus. Although they come not from the unnamed tempter or devil, but rather from the named high prince, chief of all the fallen spirits, Satan himself, no effect. The realm of the demons knows who Jesus is, knows the mortal threat he poses to them, and they send their chief to try to catch him. It comes a bit later in this chapter of Mark, but you may recall it from a few weeks ago. Shortly after this, Jesus will be met by a man with an unclean spirit. And the spirit, singular, will cry out, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. That man has one demon, we are told, and that one demon says, I know who thou art. And yet he also speaks for the entire demonic world, as he also says, what have we to do with thee? Art thou come to destroy us? In that event, Jesus simply silenced decisively the unclean, dangerous spirit, and he, the spirit, became utterly impotent. If Satan, in the wilderness, over 40 days, could have no effect upon Jesus, no mere underling of his has a chance. But did you notice? Mark also says Jesus was with the wild beasts. This seems to be the case also for 40 days. Neither Matthew nor Luke mentions these beasts. What do we make of it? There are at least two significant Old Testament moments. One is Daniel, whose faithfulness to the Lord led him to be cast into the lion's den. There he was through the night, and in the morning he emerged unharmed. Daniel's testimony was that an angel sent from God had shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me, for the reason Daniel declares that he is innocent before both God and King. The innocent Daniel, who has no sins to confess, is ministered unto by angels who protect him from wild beasts. The parallel is obvious. But what is the meaning of there being wild beasts in the wilderness of the world? Why are there wild beasts at all? For this, I think we should look to that which I believe is the best book in the Bible, namely, the book of Job. Job was a man with no sins to confess, who nonetheless experienced injustice which came about at the instigation of Satan. He wanted God to answer to him about the question of justice. God's answer, as you may recall, comes over four chapters at the end of the book. Gird up your loins like a man. Where were you when I, and so forth. God's answer is, in effect, an invitation to take a walk on the wild side. God takes Job outside the ordinary human world into vast other parts of the creation. He shows Job many wild beasts who live their own lives, following, as it were, their own ways in complete obliviousness to the rest of the world. It is a world where justice does not seem to pertain. Job sees, for instance, birds that wantonly lay eggs and then wander off and pay no attention to their young. Most convictingly, I think, Job sees the magnificent Leviathan, which God had made for the sport of it. Leviathan has a skin that is utterly impenetrable. He can do whatever he wants. There's no stopping him. He is neither bad nor good. He just is. He could lie down and squash Job and never even know it. He has no cares. Job returns from the wild world to the human world a changed man. And the sign of the change is that now his friends and his kinsmen are able to comfort him. They are able to eat together, almost. The last picture we have in the book of Job is Job with his kinsfolk and friends at table together. they enjoy, not to put too fine a point on it, the pleasures of communion, one with another. In today's few verses, Mark shows us Jesus as the central figure of every aspect of the created world. The part of the world that is in rebellion knows it must exert its utmost to tempt him. But Satan cannot touch him. The part of the world that is wild and has no care for humanity, he visits and he returns unscathed. And through it all, the angelic, unfallen creation recognizes him for who he is and serves him. All this in the wilderness, that place to which he had to go, that place into which the Spirit drove him. He went there as the beloved, pleasing Son of God. Now he emerges into our human world with a word for us. We put that word here at the head of the season of Lent. Having been with the enemy, having been with the wild, having been with the angelic, he emerges into the human. It's time, he says. God's kingdom is here. Repent and believe the gospel. We do have sins we need to confess. And perhaps one of them is a failure to believe, specifically a failure to believe the gospel. What the gospel tells us is true. What Mark tells us is true. Jesus is the central figure of every world, demonic, angelic, wild, and human. Believe that. He is more important than anything else in your life. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.